They chose not to do the work. And where we have to be careful as believers is as God opens doors for us, let us not drift, okay? Because granted, there's going to be challenges whenever God calls us to do a work, okay? And I think sometimes we convince ourselves to think that when God calls us to work, it's going to be a smooth, easy path. No troubles, no worries. But it's all a lie. There will be times where we experience some difficulties. Amen. And that is not for us to get too spiritual then and say, okay, God, maybe it's not the time. But it's, when God opens a door, that means it is time. And we must be about God's business. Everybody say God's business. So God raises up this guy. He speaks a harsh word to them to get back to doing the work. So everybody tell your neighbor, get back to doing work. All right, tell the other neighbor, don't be lazy. Somebody got quiet on that part. Like, you don't know who's sitting beside me, huh? All right, does everybody have Haggai chapter 1, verse 12? All right, it reads like this. He says, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all the remnant of the people, watch this, and you may want to underline this or highlight this, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. So they heard God, they obeyed God. In the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God has sent him. And watch this. And the people feared the Lord. So what God does, and I think it's always the case, is that when he sees that his people have drifted off course, God has a way of getting a word to his people. Don't leave me by myself. And what God does in this particular instance, he raises a prophet up to speak the truth to the people, to call them back to doing God's work. And when they hear, watch this, when they hear the word of the Lord, they didn't just meditate on it day and night. Okay, I got quiet right there. So let me come over on this side. Because that's often our case, that we hear the word, and we, rather than responding in obedience and doing what God has, we say, okay, Lord, let me just pray on this, and let me just meditate on your word day and night. Hallelujah. And then we attempt to make it sound like we're spiritual. I've heard from the Lord, but I'm just meditating on this. I oftentimes think about, you know, times I've given my kids instructions, and I've shared this once before, but I think about my daughter because she is just so beautiful and wonderful, so creative. Sometimes she's too creative. And sometimes she blurs the lines of creativity and, okay, y'all picking up what I'm putting down? Because she tells some of the best stories. And, you know, I can only imagine if I go to her and say, Olivia, the word of your father is go and clean your room. And see, and my daughter would just take this extra step and just go to her room and just sit there and meditate on the word of her daddy. Matter of fact, she would even go as far as to call a Bible study to study and exegete what I said and how I meant that. And then I go to her room and guess what? She says, Dad, I meditated on your word day and night. And my response to her, baby, you ain't clean your room. Because what I'm not looking for her just to meditate on the word. I'm looking for her to respond to the word. God is not concerned with us just meditating on his word. He wants us to hear the word and tell your neighbor, do the word. Tell your neighbor, do the word. And notice two things happened. They said they obeyed the Lord. And it started with the leader. A great sign of love and adoration for God is how we respond to what he says. So if God tells me to forgive my neighbor, guess what I'm supposed to do? Not just meditate on it. It's getting quiet right through here. If God wants me to serve somebody or encourage somebody, he just doesn't want me to meditate. He wants me to do these things. So they heard God's word, and they obeyed God's word. And then not only did they obey, the Bible says, and they feared the Lord. They were not scared of God. They feared him. Guess what? Because they reverenced him. They believed that he was a good God and that he loved them and he had a plan for them, provided that they continued to make him the priority. It is a shame when we say, God, you are the priority, but I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to move when I want to move. I'm going to do what I want to do. No, God wants us to do when he tells us to do it. Some of y'all got children. You don't want your kids just to say, I'll do when I want to. I mean, somebody heard this. They said, not my kids. Somebody felt something right there. Because here's the thing. We don't expect that out of our kids. Do you think God expects that out of his children? Absolutely not. He wants us to do what he says when he say it. Woo-hoo. Boy, let them cheer and sit down somewhere. Look at verse 13. So he speaks, they respond, and then he continues. Verse 13, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave the message of the Lord to the people. Look at this. I am with you. Declares the Lord. Watch what happens next. So the Lord stirred up their spirit. He stirred the spirit of Zerubbabel. He stirred the spirit of Joshua. And the entire people were stirred up because what? They heard, I am with you. They came and they began the work of the house of the Lord their God Almighty. So I want you to slow down. I want you to see this. The Lord says, I am with you. Guess what happens? Their spirit is stirred up. So God is in the business. He does comfort us. He does console us. But sometimes when the presence of the Lord shows up, he also stirs us. And what that means in the Hebrew, it literally means that he got excited within his spirit. Why? Not because of the work that God called them to do. It's because he said, I am with you. And because they heard, I am with you, they got excited because they knew that the word was not going to be dependent upon their strength. They knew, they got excited, says, God, we're grateful that you call us to a word, but we're even more grateful that you sent your presence with us. And I think if we're not careful as a church, we can confuse getting excited about God's work more than being excited about God. Okay, y'all left me by myself. All right, so here's this word. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. And we get excited. Go make disciples. Yay! But what happens then when that disciple doesn't do all the things you asked us to do? It's great that God calls us to a great work, but don't get it confused. We ought to be excited that we have his presence with us. And sometimes we get that mixed up. God says, I need you to know I am with you. Tell your neighbor he is with you. Because he knows how we can do. We can get excited real quick. Don't leave me by myself. Okay, let me give you a great example. So people were praying for me last week, and I'm grateful for the prayers. They knew that my team was playing the Green Bay Packers. Y'all know about them. And I was really excited all the way up until the fourth quarter. I'm not even going to respond to that. I was excited, but then that excitement fizzled out when that dude named Aaron Rodgers, it got stuck in my throat. I couldn't even say that really well. Led them down, and they ended up beating my team. Because God knows how we are as people, that sometimes we can get very excited about stuff, but when things get difficult, then we start turning away from God. That emotional excitement begins to wane, and then guess what? We stop doing stuff. Because here's what I did. I turned the game off. I'm sick of this. I'm just being, can I be human for a moment? And sometimes when we're working with God, there will be things that will frustrate us, that will get on our nerves, and we think we ought to be progressing, but we seem like we're regressing. And then all of a sudden we say, you know what, I'm sick of this, God. I'm tired of making disciples because they don't want to do right. They don't want to follow instructions. They don't want to hunger for God. They don't want to hunger for his word. I'm tired of this. I don't want to make any more disciples, God. I'm sick of this. Because we start out really excited, then life happens. Then we're no longer excited. And here's the beautiful thing. God doesn't abandon us when we stop getting excited about him. So watch what happens. Look at chapter 2. Look what happens. Because God knows us. He knows that we're sometimey. We can be really high one moment. We can be low the next minute. Thank you. We are a mess. And God knows that about us. And he doesn't give up. Watch what happens in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. So in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came again by Haggai, the prophet. Watch this. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, Joshua, his son, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant, all the peoples, y'all, all the peoples, and say, before we get to the next verse. So this is about a month later. They haven't been back to work for more than 45 days. And God knows that the thrill was starting to wane a little bit. Some of y'all listen to the blues. So 45 days into this journey, the thrill is gone. No longer are they really excited about now having to read, to do God's word. Oh, okay, okay, we good, we good, we good. Okay, we're back to normal. And God knows that he needs to give them another word. The Bible says, great is his faithfulness. So even when we seem like the flame is starting to die out within ourselves, God says, I'm not going to die out on you. Because God is in the business of pursuing his children regardless of where they are. How do we know that? That goes all the way back in the garden. When they disappointed God, when they failed God, it was God himself. Where are you, Adam? And when the thrill is gone in our life, where we no longer want to pursue God, God is saying, Arnold, where are you? Stephen, where are you? Beverly, where are you? Because there's something that has been lost, and I need to get a word to you to encourage you, to inspire you, to let you know I'm still here, even if it seems like you're getting weak in the moment. So don't fizzle out. Amen. Tell your neighbor, don't fizzle out. And it's amazing the time of the year that this happens. This is a time, this was a holiday time for them. So this is the Yom Kippur. So this was a time of repentance and remembrance. This was a time for them to remember what the Lord has done. And you would think in a time of remembrance, we would get excited all over again about our God. Sometimes we need to have those memories, right, to be excited about God. Okay, so I use a lot of football analogy, okay? So when people talk about my team, my San Francisco 49ers team, that's my team. And when they say, hey, y'all not that good, and I respond back to them, when you win 5 championships, I get excited. They get frustrated. Because I have my memories to get me excited about my team. And God allows us to experience these God moments with him so that it excites us about who God is, what he has been to us, what he will continue to be to us, and what he will always be to us. So God gives us these moments not to just say, oh, that was a great moment, but to excite us, to keep us right in line with him. So they start to wane a little bit. God sends a word to let them know, I'm still with you. And what does God say to them? Look at verse 3. Look what it says. Who of you is left who saw the house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? So peep game. So God knows that we can be fickle. So he knows the excitement can wander sometimes. But then there's also another temptation. Discouragement can also frustrate us. Because remember, when Solomon built this last temple, it was bad, y'all. They spent, I mean, according to like the numbers today, almost $5 million on the first temple. They looked at this temple that they were building right now. It don't look like, okay, y'all living by myself. they begin to make comparisons, okay? They begin to think back to what it used to be, and they start looking at the right now, and they became discouraged. They became frustrated because what they wanted was a quick turnaround. They wanted God to not just rebuild, but they wanted to make it better and better than they'd seen before. And because it didn't happen the way they thought, watch this, they got discouraged. They became frustrated, and we had to be very careful to keep those memories in the right context. Yes, God allowed us to experience previous victories, but sometimes what God does right now is for us right now and for the people who are watching us. Because remember, they just came out of captivity. Nobody thought that they were going to be able to rebuild. And the fact that God opened the door for them and now they're able to build something, now the whole nations can say there was nobody that could have done that but God. We know what they've been through. We know what they experienced. And God now has given them the opportunity to do something new. Nobody but God. And so what we have to do is resist the temptation to compare what we used to see. Oh, my gosh. So don't trip at what happened back then. He can do something new right now. He can let us build something new right now. The past is the past. But God is the God of the present in this moment. Preach my sermon. We're grateful for the stories. We're grateful for the experience. But what God does is set us up to make his name greater than before. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine? Just use your Holy Ghost imagination for a moment. You have people that are working. Well, you know, back when Solomon built the temple. Yeah, we had it going on. You remember how we had gold all through this building? Now we got bronze. Some of y'all didn't pick that up. You remember how we had cedar paneling all up and through here, and it gave off this fragrance? Now we just got particle board up on us. This is just a mess. And you see how those seeds can be sown and cause further discouragement. And he says, don't worry about y'all. Y'all weren't even there anyway. Oh, my God. But that's what we'll do. And that's what the enemy will allow us to fall into. And we'll forget that we're called to do God's work. Amen? So we can't be comparing ourselves now to what it was back then. That was then, this is now. Everybody say, this is now. So we're going to focus on God's work, amen? And even as we think about this in the church context, we do this personally. We compare our life to the person sitting next to us. Okay, get quiet now. They can't sing like me. They can't preach like me. They can't dance like me. Okay, let me move on. So we had to be very careful of making comparisons, okay? Because who are we supposed to be looking at anyway? I mean, at the end of the day, so he says, set our minds on things above and not beneath. Because if I lower my eyes to the things I see and make comparison, it's going to always fall short. But if I continue to look to him who's able to do exceedingly abundant above all can ask or think, then guess what? He sustains me if I feel like I'm lacking anything anyway. So I may not can sing like you, but guess what? I'm going to sing anyway. I don't know if y'all can hear me back there. I was carrying y'all. I was carrying that bass, boy. I was killing it back here. I don't know if y'all can hear that. I was killing it in Jesus' name. I don't care if you don't like it. Because God is able to make his grace abound towards us so that we're all sufficient in all areas at all times, not lacking anything, abounding in every great work. So I don't have time to compare because his grace has covered me. So what they have to trust that although it doesn't look like what it used to be, his grace covers us to get the work done. Oh, my gosh. Thank God for grace. Woo! So they're making comparisons, but then also the other frustrating thing is that they were not experiencing great progress. So they were comparing themselves to what was, and then what was now wasn't happening fast enough. Oh my gosh. Because, see, we live in a microwave generation where we want stuff right now. We don't want to work for nothing. We think we deserve everything. Yeah, okay, don't leave me by myself. Y'all heard me quote Mother Haley from back when I was down in Texarkana. She said this to me. She said, "Son, something fast won't last, and something quick won't stick." Because sometimes God calls us to work, and it seems like it's a long runway to get there. And so what God does is that he gives us the grace to finish well and finish strong. But guess what? It's according to his time, not our own. So we cannot afford to say, "God, I got a schedule. I need to stay to the schedule." Sometimes God will just mess up the schedule. Then how do you handle it then? If you look around and you say, "We've had this pastor here for 5 months and it's not packed yet." Are you telling me after 5 months, "God, where are you in this?" Oh, it got quiet through here. Woo! Okay, can we move on? Because here's the thing. When God does something, it is well. Provided that we make him the priority. If we make anything else the priority, we will fail. Okay? So we can't get frustrated when it seems a lack of progress. It's okay. Why? Because God says, "I am with you." And that is the best, most comforting thing you could ever hear. Now remember, we just said he's an amazing God. We just sang about that. We said that he spoke and things came into existence. And if this God who did all these things says, "I am with you," he is more than the world against us. Matter of fact, he's more than we can be against our own selves. Because sometimes we get it our own way. "Oh, Lord, I'm tired. Oh, Lord, I'm weak. Oh, Lord." And God says, "I am with you." Then all of a sudden something happens on the inside of us that says, "Okay, I can do this." And watch this. You know, one of the things I appreciate, I can't really do this anymore, but when I would run long distances, why are you laughing? I ain't saying nothing funny yet. And I'll be running, and usually after, you know, a few miles, you start getting tired, and, you know, your body just starts talking to you, which is crazy. It's a crazy concept, your body talking to you. It tells you, "You can't do it, stop, why are you doing this, you crazy, at least my body says that, okay? And so I'm running about mile 6 or 7, getting weary, but I know, hey, just 13 miles ain't no big deal. Then watch this. I don't know when, and I don't know how. It's like this second wind just said, whoo. You can't plan for it. You can't predict it. As long as you're going, oh, my gosh, it just happens. But if you're not going, it won't happen. And when you experience it, there's no other experience like a second wind, because you realize that your body is breaking down, that it's tired, you just want to throw in the towel. Then all of a sudden, it happens. Then all of a sudden, like, what in the world just happened? Why am I running faster than I used to run and breathing better than I'm breathing before? Why? Because that second wind hit you and it re-energized you. And so when we're doing God's work, the beauty thing is he says, "I'm with you," and he knows when we're getting tired, he knows when we're getting weary, and all of a sudden, and it just happens. Provided that we're focusing on God's presence and being about his work. Are y'all tracking with me? We will get tired if we continue to operate in our own strength. So our priority is about his presence and doing his work. Amen, somebody. So tell your neighbor, don't give up. Hang on in there. All right, pick up at verse 4. And then we're almost done. Pick up at verse 4. It gets gooder, y'all. Okay. He says, but now, watch this, be strong. Oh, my gosh. Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Watch this, and work. And he says this now for the second time, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. Because remember, let's go back to chapter 1. Remember what the plan was. It was go up, bring down, build. That was the plan. And God says, as you're doing this, remember, you can be strong because I am with you. You're able to do the plan because I am with you. As long as I'm with you, you can do the plan. If I'm not with you, you lose things. Because remember, they were working before, but they were working on their own house. They had clothes that couldn't hang around long enough. They had purses that had holes in it. They could never have enough because they continued to work for their own pleasure. But now God says, as long as you work for my pleasure, then you're going to always have enough because I am with you. And so guess what? We're going to lay one brick at a time. Boom. One brick at a time. And even as I'm getting tired, I'm reminded, he is with me. He is with me. See, he is with me. He is with me. He is with me. So I can go up, I can come down, I can be. I can go up, I can come down, I can be. Why? Because he is with us. And guess what? And I'm going to continue to be strong and to do God's work because why? God is with me. God is with our church. And guess what? We're going to be able to do the work. We're going to continue to be strong because we know he is with us. And if he is with us, he is more than the world against us. Now I hear what you're saying. Lord, what is my work? Y'all saw that, didn't you? Quick hands, Jesus. Amen. But you're saying, okay, God, what is my work? I hear you in the spirit trying to figure out, okay, God, what is my work? What am I supposed to be doing? Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Okay. Matthew chapter 28. Have y'all heard this sermon before? Yes, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them everything I've commanded you, and watch this, and I'm with you. God doesn't call us to do anything and then all of a sudden abandon us. Y'all left me by myself. God doesn't call us to anything and then say, good luck with that. Praying for you. When God calls us, he has the power to keep us in the calling. So when it becomes frustrating in making disciples, guess what? We are reminded, I am with you. So even in your making disciples, you're not doing this in your own intellect. You're not doing this in your own gifting. You're not doing this in your own talent. You're doing this because I am with you. Therefore, I can be strong when I get frustrated when I'm making disciples. Stay strong and do the work. And guess what? When you look at the rest of the chapter, we don't have time. When you look at the rest of the chapter, when you look at verses 6 through 9, let me paraphrase it for you. And he says, and this temple is going to be greater than the one before. Oh, my gosh. When you do it based upon what God told you to do and how he told you to do it, he says it's going to be greater later. Yes, it was dope before, but wait till I get through with this now. Because we're committing to God and we're committing to his work, and then God take care of the rest. See, I think sometimes we think that, okay, maybe I have to control the outcome. No. We can have the best plan. But at the end of the day, it's God who does all the heavy lifting. Okay. All right, so I was at the gym the other day, and I was pumping. You know, these trainers, they stay at home and dream of creative ways to do stuff. And I remember he had me on this little exercise ball the other day, and I was doing bench presses. So I was trying to balance and trying to hold the weight. And there was a moment I closed my eyes because I was wore out. I was just, And really, I was praying. I was like, Jesus, you're going to have to help me with this one today. But then all of a sudden, I just felt like, man, this show got lighter. And I opened my eyes, and there's Jalen. He's just doing this number right here. Because here's the thing. He saw where I was. He saw that I was getting weary. He saw that I was getting tired. Guess what? This is what he was saying. As he was doing this, he says, you got it? Two more. And I'm like, boy, I'm killing it, boy. And I opened my eyes like, no, God, he got it. And that's what happens when we're doing God's work. It's like we're doing it, and God said, you got it, you got it. They don't even realize. They don't even realize, I got this. They really don't have it, but I got it. But I'm going to let them think they have it. Why? Because he is with us. And our job is to make his name famous. Y'all don't even know Jalen, but y'all going to remember Jalen. Because every time you think about Jay, you're going to be thinking about this right here. And now his name just got famous just that fast. So when God does this with us, guess what our job is to do? To make his name famous. So those who don't know God will get to know God because we can say that it was no one that was able to do what's been done in here except for God. Two more. Two more. You got it. Tell your neighbor, you got it. No, okay, tell the other neighbor, you got it. Tell yourself. Somebody. Now, if you say you got it to yourself, which personality are you talking to today? Just, you got, no, you got it, you got it, you got it. Amen. Well, we're going to do the work, and we're going to witness God do something great, and we're going to do it with his presence, not apart from his presence. Amen. We want God to show up. Would you bow with me? And as we pray, maybe you've been reluctant to get involved in God's work. And God is saying the time is now to do the work. Yes, it's scary. There's a lot of uncertainty. But God says, I am with you. At the very simplest, God has told us to go make disciples. But within that, he's also given us specific gifts and talents. And maybe you've been reluctant to fully realize that by living out those gifts, those talents, you've prayed about it long enough. God can't say anything else differently about your gifts and about the work. Now it's just time to obey, to reverence God, to honor God with your obedience. We can be real guilty of giving God a lot of lip service. God, I will. God, I will. But never do a blessed thing. And God is saying today that you need to do something today. God raised up Haggai to be a prophet, to bring the people to work. God has sent his son to save, to redeem, to reconcile us, to do some work, to make his name famous. And maybe the very first thing you need to do today is make a commitment to trust Jesus. You haven't been assured of his presence because you haven't given your life wholly to him. I want you to hear me. God says, I love you. And there's nothing you can do about that. God expressed his love by sending. That's in God's DNA. He is in the sending business. He sends Haggai. He sends Jesus. And guess what? He wants to send us too. But you have to be committed. You got to commit to him by giving your life to him. And if you're here today, you're saying, Pastor, that's me. I've never given my life to Jesus. I realize that my life is a mess, it's a train wreck. I've been on my own agenda, setting my own plans. I've never recognized that Jesus has a plan for me. And if you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus today. I don't want to miss this moment. You can do it right where you are. And you can just talk with them. Jesus, would you just come into my life today? I recognize that I'm a sinful mess. I lived in rebellion, doing my own thing. But today I want to surrender my life to you. I want to experience this I am with you myself. It's that simple. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you call on him today, you're saved. But secondly, just like these people, they drifted from God. They didn't do God's work. And it's not just them. Sometimes we drift because we have other things that's become present and prevalent in our life. And maybe today you need to recommit yourself, just like the people did. They heard the word of the Lord. They committed, or rather recommitted to him and the work. And maybe today you realize you've drifted from Jesus. You found yourself further away from him than you ever anticipated. You didn't plan it this way, it just happened. But the Lord can reclaim anybody. And today you're saying, okay, Jesus, I need to get this right with you. Just confess that you've messed up. Confess that you've drifted from him. Don't wear the shame. Don't wear the guilt anymore. He loves you. He just wants you to confess that sin. And he restores us. We'll give you a moment. Just talk to him. Admit that you've drifted from him. And trust that he has the power to bring restoration to your life. An amazing God we serve. And then lastly, if you're saying, man, I've just been coming, I've been visiting, I've been hanging out with these crazy people. I like the vibe. I like what God is doing. I like that there's clarity of doing God's work. And I want to partner. I want to be a part of this church family, to be on mission with God and with the people. And if that's you, would you just say, God, would you lead me? And if you heard the Lord speak to you in any of these, you need to give your life to Christ, you need to recommit yourself to him, or you just say, I need to commit to the local church family. If you heard the Lord speak to you, would you just raise your hand right where you are? We're praying with you. We're praying with you. If the Lord's saying, I need to be saved, I need to recommit my life, I need to be a part of a church family, would you just raise your hands? We're praying with you. Father, thank you, not only for your word, but God, thank you for your presence. God, we realize that whatever you call us to, God, we need your presence. God, thank you for your faithfulness, because you're not like man. God, you don't change your mind about us. You don't just cast us aside, but rather, God, you continue to show us that you are indeed a great Father who's always present. And God, we never have to wonder where you are, because God, you've said you are with us. Our strength comes from you. Our hope is found in you. So, Father, we ask that you would just continue to move through us. Give us that second wind so that, God, we can witness, God, you doing something in our individual lives, but then also corporately, Lord. God, you said the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. God, we don't place our hope in that. We place our hope in you. God, may we be a people who are obedient and reverent to who you are. God, thank you. God, we thank you. And God, for those who are wrestling with decisions today, may they be open to hear you. And not only that, I pray, God, that you give them the courage to be obedient. Because, God, you said to them, you are with them. Give them the courage, God, to make a decision today and not miss the moment. And, God, we're so grateful, so thankful that we get to experience you. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, and every heart said amen. Amen. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen.